Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Monday, so let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Brandon Deutsch. Brandon, how are you?
Doing very well. Doing very well. Great start to the week, Monday. So, yeah, let's keep it rolling.
A lot to get into, Brandon, and I do have to start with the Clippers game yesterday. We were on the cusp of seeing history, perhaps, and this is always a possibility when we're watching the Clippers, right? Certainly when they have a big lead in the first quarter or in the first half, you know that the other team is going to come back at some point. It didn't happen in game one, but you're watching that game play out, game four in Dallas. The Clippers storm out to a 31-point first half lead. The Mavericks brought it down to 17 before the half. All of a sudden, it was down to single digits. And then not only did they tie the game, Brandon, in the fourth quarter, they took, I believe, a one-point lead. And at that point, I'm thinking, this is over. Just because of the crowd and how into it that crowd was. I mean, according to the folks who I talked to who were there, it was one of the loudest crowds they could ever hear. And by the way, when you are down 31 points and you bring it down to within nine, they said at that point when the Mavs were within 12, it was loud. So again, then the Mavericks take a one-point lead late with about 2 minutes and change left in the game. But the Clippers, give them credit. They stormed back. They took the lead. They held on. The series is now tied 2-2. We'll get into the Kawhi part of this story momentarily. But your thoughts on that game? Again, this series would have effectively been done if the Mavs had taken a 3-1 series lead. It's not. It's not only tied 2-2. The Clippers have home court advantage again. Game 5 is in Los Angeles. And if there is a Game 7, that too will be in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Look, it's interesting because this kind of feels like the same series as, except minus Kawhi, a few years ago.
Yeah.
Kawhi did play that last series against the Mavericks, and he played great in that series. But it seems to be like this team's playing better without him.
Yes.
Take it for what you will. It's very weird because he's like their best player, right? Like, especially when it comes into the postseason, he's considered to be a postseason all-time great, right? Just what he's done in the postseason, his stats up there. Looks like Michael Jordan sometimes in the postseason, like especially last year before he got hurt and a few years ago. But this narrative is like James Harden. All year it's been James Harden, right? Like, well, they'll choke if James Harden doesn't show up in the playoffs, like he normally does not show up in the playoffs. But he's averaged 27 points per game and 7 assists, 73% true shooting percentage this series. He's been the best player on the court. And that's crazy to say, you know, and it's, I mean, maybe minus Kyrie or Luka. He's been the best player in the Clippers, we shall say.
Yeah.
And that's led them to a 2-2, you know, series tie. And if Harden and George keep playing the way they're playing, because we know, like, George will be hit or miss. We saw, like, the, I don't know how many points he had two games ago, but I know they combined PG, Kawhi, and Westbrook for about, I think, 17, and Doncic was 22 by himself, which was, like, a big thing that people talked about. If George can even have somewhat of the game he had yesterday and Harden keeps rolling, the role players kind of do what they need. Zubac, by the way, dominating this series.
Yeah.
He's doing really well. The interior presence has been helping them. It's been doing wonders. Could go seven games. I still think the Mavericks win the series, but you can't really count out the Clippers. I mean, Ty Lue has experience. The team has experience. And Luka's never beaten the Clippers in the playoffs. There's this narrative that he had. He lost both of those series. So just saying, that's something to put out there. Going to be tougher without Kawhi, but it's possible.
What do you think is the biggest takeaway, again, going into game five? Because you brought up a great point, and it's one that you had to be wondering as you're watching that first half play out. This was, so game one, there's no Kawhi, and the Clippers are blowing out the Mavericks by 30-plus points in the first half. Again, they were at home, so they held on to that win. It never got close. Once again, game four, no Kawhi, 30-plus point lead in the first half. Obviously, things got a little bit hairy there. They held on to win. It was really, if you look at the series, games two and three, where Kawhi played, but was never remotely close to 100%. In fact, probably should not have played. And that's why not only do I think he's done for the series, he might be done for the postseason as long as the Clippers are playing. What do you think is about this team that enables them to play so well right now without Kawhi? And do you think it's sustainable? Again, we've seen teams, rise to the occasion if their star player is out for a game or two. Is it sustainable? Because again, to your point, you still have Dallas beating the Clippers here.
Yeah, I think it's the sustainable in the sense where I think Harden, it's a 4-game span. I think he'll continue as long as the role players do really well. You just need Paul George. I mean, they have enough to hang in there. Like, if Harden's playing the way he is, you have Harden and Paul George, and then you have Luka and Kyrie. And right now, the role players in the Clippers are playing better than the role players on the Mavericks, right? Like, even in the win Dallas had in game three, it was, or game two and three, it was Luka and Kyrie primarily. I mean, sure, PJ Washington was okay, and Daniel Gafford has been a difference maker, but it's not like Tim Hardaway is doing a whole lot of anything. It's not like, you know, Josh Green's doing a whole lot of anything. I mean, I think Hardy's been really good. I think he needs more minutes. And I think Jason Kidd is going to start playing him more off the bench because he can just flat out score. And the Clippers have a weird defense where if you're not a scorer, it sounds really, really generic, but if you're not a scorer, you can't score that well on them. They're very good at game planning against players unless you're a really, really, really talented scorer. And the only guys on that team that can really score at all three levels really at a high level is Luka Doncic, Kyrie, and Hardy. Mm-hmm. Josh Green can't do that at all three levels. Not even Hardaway can. So if they're able to really continue their game plan defensively and have Harden and George, I wouldn't say go toe-to-toe against Kyrie and Luka, but do just enough where their role players can outplay the role players in the Mavericks, they'll have a really good chance to win the series. But it starts with game five. They lose game five, it's going to be really hard, Arash.
Yeah. Okay, so like, let's go to the big picture here with Kawhi. Again, the Clippers have always been very cautious with Kawhi. And for the last couple of years, and I get it, you know, fans have said it's the playoffs, power through, play through the pain and all that stuff. And I think for the first time, whether it's Kawhi or whether it's the team or a combination of both, they actually did say, okay, listen, like, you're not 100%, but we're not going to shut you down. Let's see what you can do. And Brandon, he did not look like himself. In fact, he looked like a shell of himself in games two and three, and it didn't help the team. And so they basically said, listen, we're not going to do this. So, but big picture, however, I mean, you really have to wonder about this. I mean, this is 4 years in a row. Like if it was 1 year or 2 years, it'd be one thing. But Brandon, 2021, he goes down. 2022, he's out for the entire season and postseason. 2023, last year, he goes down following game two. Again, he tweaked what was hurting him, I think, midway through game two. And then here we go again. And it's like 4 years in a row. I mean, you got to really wonder at this point, like, is this guy someone that you can hitch your wagon to? Again, they already have. Again, there's questions about Paul George and his contract extension. There's no question about Kawhi. He's here. He'll retire with the Clippers probably. But I got to wonder if we will get to a postseason before he retires where he's finally once again healthy.
I doubt it. I mean, he's getting older. What is he, 34 now? It's not like, I believe, I'm looking it up to make exact 32. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. I thought he was older than he was.
Hey, But those knees are
60. Yeah, they're like 60 years old. Exactly. So it's like, it's going to be tough for him. He's only going to get older. But this year it was admirable for him. He played enough to make an All-NBA team. He probably will be on the All-NBA third team, if I had to guess, just, you know, what he did primarily on both ends of the floor all season. And I thought it would pay dividends. And I think it did. But I think his injury would be far worse if he took time off again during the season. Because we saw this injury specifically isn't as bad as the previous injuries, yes. right? Like, in my opinion. Like, it's just, I mean, it's a fact. It's not even my opinion.
No, yeah.
I think that's because he was able to work up to getting to this point. And your body just breaks down when you're a guy with knees like this, right? Like, this is an issue that continues to persist. It gets to the point where Clippers fans shouldn't even get excited for him throughout the year because it's just bound to happen. What is this? Yeah. This is the second year in a row, third of the last 4 years, right? Or is it like third year in a row?
It's fourth straight year that
fourth
he
straight
has.
Year. Yeah. Oh so my gosh, it's been that many years in a row. I thought he was healthy one of those times. No,
well, so in 2020 in the bubble, like, and again, you can take for it what you will, but they were both healthy, Paul George and Kawhi. They had that 3-1 series lead against the Denver Nuggets. They were the 2 seed. They should have gotten that year to the first ever.
Oh, in 21, he was healthy in the first round.
Exactly. Right. To your point, you know, and you made a great example there in 2021. That Mavericks series goes 7 games. It was the weirdest series you've ever seen, where Dallas wins games 1 and 2 in Los Angeles. They have a 20-point lead in game 3 in Dallas. The Clippers come back and win games 3 and 4, tie up the series. Anyways, the series goes 7 games, and the Clippers win. And Kawhi plays amazingly well. In fact, I posted this because I said playoff Kawhi is one of the top 5 players in the league, because when you looked at the series he had, and this is amazing. This is his last series that he was healthy the entire series. He put up a stat line that was comparable to Shaquille O'Neal in the finals in 2000. Like it was crazy what he did.
Yeah.
Has not been healthy since. Again, he got hurt in the Utah Jazz series. Again, that was the highlight of Paul George's time with the Clippers. He leads them. They beat the Jazz, blow them out in game 6 in Los Angeles, go to the Western Conference Finals where they lose to the Suns. But again, Kawhi's just never been healthy. And so I don't know when it's going to happen. Again, you know, whether he's 32 or what, it doesn't matter. His knees are shot. His knees are not healthy. We'll see. Okay, let's switch gears real quick. The Lakers staved off a sweep and elimination. They play game 5 tonight, depending on when you're tuning in. That game may be happening or may be done. But listen, kudos to the Lakers and kudos to D'Angelo Russell as he's looking for a new contract, I'm sure. It would have been embarrassing. I mean, there's no two ways to put it. It would have been embarrassing to get swept by the Denver Nuggets and to lose 12th straight. At the very least, Brandon, we'll see what happens in game 5 in Denver. They didn't get swept. They played well. That's that stat that was on the TV broadcast.
Yeah.
It's like the Lakers holding the lead for 90% of the series, but being down 0-3. Your thoughts on this team? Again, they showed fight. They showed moxie, by the way. Like, they really could have packed up their bags and said 1-2-3 Cancun. That was not the case.
Yeah, it's admirable. They finally found a way to beat them. If they had a different coach, they probably are up 3-1 in this series. I think the Lakers have looked like the better team.
I agree.
For a lot of this series. I mean, people like always make fun of the Lakers, like, oh, they got swept last year. That's coaching. Mike Malone's just a far superior coach to Darvin Ham. That's literally the difference. And people won't talk about this much, but the altitude in Denver is ridiculous. And as you get toward the end of games, you get tired. It's not just the Lakers. We saw that with Miami in the finals last year. We saw this with Minnesota last year when Denver played them. We saw this with Phoenix last year when they played them in Denver. It's really tough to play in that altitude.
Yeah.
That's number one. And those were all winnable games. They really should have won game 1. They should have won game 2. Game 3, they should not have won. they were completely outclassed in that game. But game 4, they did win. You give LeBron a fighting chance. Let's see what he does. To me, it's that they're tired. They really had to grind out that win, Arash. Psychologically, it does do something. But I'd be shocked if they win tonight. I'd be shocked. Yeah. It's a tough game for the Lakers to win, being down like this. And it's in Denver. You know their crowd's going to go crazy.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to play much better than they did in Los Angeles. And they looked pretty good in Los Angeles. So I mean, again, all it takes is Jamal Murray luckily didn't look great for one game against the Lakers in the history. I mean, he looked great for 11, and then there's one he didn't look great for. But I don't want to hype up the Lakers' faithful. I'm sorry. No. I think it's over tonight. I really do.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, no team in league history has ever come down from 3-0. And again, this was a unique 3-0 where the team that had a 3-0 lead on the Lakers had beaten them 11 straight times. So, you know, like while I'm watching that game play out on Saturday, I'm just expecting the Denver to come back and win, because that's what happened the last 11 times. And to your point, I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a close game. I think the Lakers will take a double digit lead again, because why the heck not? But then at the end of the day, there is something to be said about finding a way to close out. So while we can look at that stat sheet or the line that the Lakers have led in whatever, like 90% of the series, it does mean something to close out. It does mean something to come back. It does mean something to play well in the fourth quarter. Like when you look at Anthony Davis and what he put up in the first two quarters or the first two and a half quarters, that's all well and good. But if you go scoreless in the fourth, or you go scoreless through the last like quarter and a half of the game, that says something. And again, by the way, kudos to Paul George yesterday, who like again goes off for 26 of them in the first half, is scoreless, and then all of a sudden hits the shot that really helps them propel them coming back. Because again, when they went down by 1 point with 2 minutes left in that game, I thought it was done. And then Paul George hits the shot of the season. And again, we'll see what it means for the Clippers in the big scheme of things. Brandon, we got a report from Woj. And again, we heard, when we say reports, and again, and I don't want to discredit reports, because I think that there's a difference when a report comes from like Woj or Shams or someone who's around the team or around league officials. I think Woj saying that if it's a gentleman sweep, so if the Lakers lose in five, to be honest, I mean, like even if they lose in six or seven, I mean, like if they get, if they're done in the first round, the Darvin Ham is on the hot seat, and it's not a guarantee that he'll come back. What's the sense you get? Because I mean, by the way, we haven't even touched on it. Like LeBron losing his mind at Ham publicly for not challenging a call. Like whatever. He's right. Ham should have challenged it. I mean, he's got his hands in his pocket. I know that's the thing on social media, that Ham just always has his hands in his pocket. If they lose in five, six, or seven, and I guess seven's different, where, I mean, that would be a heck of a thing if we're playing a game seven, but let's just say they lose in a gentleman sweep. What are the odds? What do you think that Darvin Ham will come back as a head coach?
What are the odds that he will come back?
Yes, that he will come back.
Hopefully zero.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I mean, knowing what the organization has, I mean, it's no shade at all, but
yeah,
there was a history of firing coaches really early in their 10 years. And I think they really wanted to keep Darvin Ham. They did the year.
Yeah.
They wanted to change that narrative. They would do anything for Darvin Ham. Jeannie really likes him and Rob really likes him. And he's a great guy, don't get me wrong. The fact of the matter is, coaching makes a big difference. It makes a big difference in these series.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe if it goes to 70 stays and they're like, okay, yeah, it's just one game. Like, let's go into next year. I think he's probably gone. I would say there's an 85, 90% chance he's not the coach next
year. It's so interesting, you know, because for Frank Vogel's on the hot seat as well. And it's like, I Frank Vogel, and you were, since the day that I met you, you have emphasized defense. And Frank Vogel is a great defensive coach. His last year with the Lakers, that was not like, that team wasn't built as a defensive team. And this Suns team is probably the worst built for defense. Again, their goal with that big three and that team is just to score more points than you. And I feel bad for Frank Vogel in the sense that I do think he's a good coach. But real quick, your thoughts. If Frank Vogel is shown the door, again, I don't think he'll get a head coaching job next season, but that's, I don't know. He's a championship coach. I think he needs to go to a team that is built for defense. That's built for defense.
I agree. I also think that why not the Lakers?
What? Stop it. This.
Why not?
Breaking news.
Put pride aside. Well, why not? He won you a championship. LeBron's won a championship with them.
That would be fascinating.
I'm just thinking about it. He's probably going to be the best coach out there. He knows LeBron. Like, I don't want Terry Stotts. Like, let's get out of here. He can't coach defense. Like, that's a big thing. Defense wins championships, especially since they'll still have Vanderbilt Vincent under contract, right? Like, they're going to have to play defense to win a championship. So no Stotts. And then what are we getting into? I think Vogel is probably the best option, believe it or not.
That sounds like a future Sporting Tribune column that in order for the Lakers to win a championship again, they have to go back to the coach who led them.
Just put your pride aside.
I agree with that.
Life's too short.
Yeah.
And hire him back.
The Russell Westbrook relationship was very toxic. Obviously, he's not there anymore. So, I mean, listen, that's not crazy, by the way. And by the way, before we close out today, Michael Penix Jr., you were the guy to tell me that he would be a top 10 pick when, by the way, that there was no one in the mock draft putting him that high. We'll talk about that this week. But Brandon, you're the best. When we come back, we'll be joined by Grant Mona to break down a little bit more of this Clippers comeback. Well, they lost a 31-point lead and they came back to win. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 from the California, the Bet in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still climb with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, I want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii. Call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's welcome in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Money Mona. Grant, how are you?
I am relieved. I am happy as of now. At approximately 2 o'clock on Sunday evening, or actually afternoon, I was not okay, but we're good, Arash. We're doing well.
I love it. Okay, Grant, let's set the scene. So we had known, and we have talked about this, that Kawhi did not look like himself. Of course, Kawhi was out for the previous 3 weeks going into the beginning of the playoffs, and there was this hope that he would be back and he would be healthy. He clearly was not. He missed game one. But over the past couple of years, there has been this sense of like, Kawhi, this is the playoffs, this is the postseason, power through. You know, even if Kawhi at 75% is better than a ton of players. I mean, we found out the hard way, to be honest, and it doesn't make me feel any better in terms of like, oh, he should have played through it. If Kawhi's not healthy, Kawhi's not himself. And what makes Kawhi so great is that playoff Kawhi is, in my view, one of the top five players in the league. We saw it in 2021, in the last series he was fully healthy against the Mavericks. He put up the stats. A stat line that we hadn't seen since Shaquille O'Neal back in 2000. So he tried to give it a go. To his credit, he tried to give it a go in games two and in game three. And it was not pretty. It didn't look good. It didn't help himself. It didn't help the Clippers. He was not only shut down and ruled out for game four. Grant, I think it's safe to say he's out for this series. And we'll see how far the Clippers go. But like, I really don't believe he'll come back until he's 100% confident and healthy and has a few, you know, contact practices, and where it's not like, see how you feel, because that didn't look good, and that didn't, again, that didn't help the Clippers, and it's not good for Kawhi. Okay, so that was sort of that was us setting the table for game four. And amazingly, the Clippers came out and took a very similar 30-plus point lead, 31-point lead in game four as they did in game one, the last game that they had without Kawhi. You knew that the Mavs would come back. I don't know how many people thought that they'd come back and take the lead, and they did. With 2 minutes left, the Mavs took their first lead of the game, a one-point lead, and then Paul George hits not only the shot of the game, but the shot of the series, and maybe the shot of the season for the Clippers if they go on to beat the Mavs and do something great this year. So they've tied the series now 2-2. That would have been a catastrophic historical. It would have, I believe, tied the record for the biggest blown lead in playoff history. You don't have to worry about that. They didn't blow the lead. They did momentarily, but they won the game. Grant, before we get into Kawhi, let's talk about the game. I mean, the significance of them, and again, you followed this team for a long time. No one is less comfortable with a 31-point lead than you. The fact that Paul George hit the shot that he did late, and the fact that the Clippers did what they did, James Harden did what he did, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, showed a lot of moxie, a word that you and Brandon love, late in the game. Again, tied the series 2-2. Going back to Los Angeles now.
Yeah, Clippers teams in the past wouldn't have finished that game. Lob City Clippers wouldn't have finished that game. Arash, you know that.
100%.
Like those teams just had a problem closing games. And while the Clippers have had those issues this year, this is a team that's like, James Harden said it after the game, this is a veteran team. We know what the deal is. Like, they know how good Dallas is. They know how good Luka and Kyrie are together. Just the fact of the matter is that shot that Paul George made, like you mentioned, that could be the shot of this era. I mean, Just imagine if Paul George misses that shot, Dallas is up at that point, Kyrie's going nuclear. Like, I don't know if they could have stopped them. That kind of hedged some of the momentum. It got the Clippers back out by two. And from that point on, it was the James Harden show. I mean, James Harden flashed it back to the 2019 James Harden, the 2018 James Harden. These were the kinds of games that Harden was having back in those days. And to see him having this type of series, which is probably his best playoff series since some of those 2018, 2019 teams, I didn't expect that, especially with him being a third option. And now obviously he has to be a second or first option with Kawhi Leonard out. But this team, they were up by 31. I don't know if anyone remembers, but the biggest playoff comeback in history was the Clippers against the Warriors in 2019. The Mavericks could have tied that or maybe even exceeded that at some point, but the Clippers just stayed the course. They were mentally tough. They were physically tough too. Let's just get that straight too. Yeah. This is a team that looked like they did not want to get bullied. They did not want to get pushed around anymore. PJ Washington in the last game was flexing on them. The Mavericks kind of punked them in the game previous. And I just saw a ferocious Clippers. Look, when Paul George is as engaged as that, when James Harden is showing burst and hitting those step threes and, especially in the clutch, I mean, he got whatever he wanted in the clutch. Yeah. When you have those types of, I guess you could call them throwback performances for those guys, there are still very few teams that can beat the Clippers. And I know that Kawhi Leonard is out. And I'm going to say this, it may be a hot take, it may be something that not a lot of people agree with. The Clippers are better off without Kawhi Leonard right now. And I'm not saying Kawhi his peak powers. I'm just saying Kawhi Leonard right now with his knee the way it is. And that's just obvious. In game one, without Kawhi Leonard, they blitzed the Mavericks. Excellent defense, a flow on offense. In game four, what did we see? We saw a flow on offense, tenacious defense, just healthy legs out there. And Kawhi, when he was back in games two and three, the ball was stagnant. There was no flow to the offense. His defense was subpar. It threw everybody off. I think he should sit out the rest of the series regardless. I mean, I just think that this team right now, just in this series, is better without him. It gets him time to rest, you know, if they advance from this. And I just think that this team showed so much, not to me, but to the whole world right now, because a lot of people had the Mavericks winning in five. They had them going away with this game. There was talk about Luka's defense, and every time people... I think there was a stat that Joey Lynn, our good friend, put out, is that when Luka was the primary defender, Clipper players were 10 of 14 against him. And that's usually a good sign, right? Because you have to go at Luka. You have to go at Kyrie. Like I mentioned before, teams in the past would have not came back and finished this game. So that shows a lot of grit, a lot of toughness from this team. Now, Arash, home court is back with the Clippers.
Yep.
If they do get to seven, two of the next three are at home.
Yes.
And now you know, like, it's almost a foregone conclusion that Kawhi Leonard's going to be out the rest of the series. Yeah. Like, I think the players know that too.
Yeah.
So going into these, now you can game plan like, hey, this is our team. This is who we have. This is what we did. Now let's move on from that. So I am very, very happy with what I saw. If they were to go down 3-1, that series probably would have been over in five or six. Now the Clippers have, they're in the driver's seat again. It's just such a huge swing.
Exactly. And listen, I've covered those Lob City Clippers team that would get down on themselves, that would yell at each other. And listen, and not just the Clippers, by the way, Grant, like most teams, if they blew a 31-point lead and fell behind, and again, I was texting with a few people who were in Dallas, like the loudest crowd they had ever heard, most teams would just be like, we're done for. For them to, when I say come back again, it was just 1 point. But if Paul George misses that shot, and again, I'm watching the game going like, what are you doing? What kind of shot is that? Hits it. Big, big moment. I had 2021 vibes in terms of it. You got to remember like Paul George, like what he did. And again, I felt that in the first half, and then he disappeared, Grant. But then he came back late, and there's something to be said for that. What do you think? And again, I agree with you in the small sample size. And again, I mean, having watched the Clippers firsthand, you know, take that big lead over Phoenix. They almost blew that, but they held on to win. Big lead in game one of the series. That was not close at any point. And then here, like, this team, and it's kind of rare to see a team take a 30-point lead against another team in the first half. What do you think enables these guys to at least play some of the best first-half basketball that I think I've ever seen without Kawhi?
I think it's just that the fact that they have like James Harden said, a veteran team, but also Arash, this is why you get James Harden.
100%.
This is why you get Russell Westbrook, right? A lot of people are like, oh, this is just insurance. And this is when it needs to happen. This is why you get insurance, because, you know, usually in years past, like, oh, Kawhi's out. Now Paul George is by himself with Patrick Beverley and Rondo and Zubats. Yeah. And no offense to those guys, but they're not at the level of Harden and Westbrook and Norm Powell that they have now. So in that 2021 run, when it was just Paul George, like, it was a lot more difficult. He had a lot more to shoulder. Now you have almost three 20-point-per-game scorers with Norm Powell in that lineup. So you can kind of supplement Kawhi Leonard's scoring. And, you know, no disrespect to Amir Coffey. I love him. He's been fantastic. He's obviously not Kawhi Leonard, but you have two guys that can go down, and they've shown it throughout their career, go down in crunch time and win games in Paul George and James Harden. These aren't just guys that score 20. These are guys that go and win games for you. So I just think it's the experience, but it's also, you know, over the last, what, 2-3 weeks of the season, Arash, like you mentioned, they beat the Suns without Kawhi Leonard. They beat Denver without Kawhi Leonard at home. They showed moxie down the stretch against very good teams. I know they played some bad teams here and there. They came back from 20-something down against the Cleveland Cavaliers without Kawhi Leonard as well. So I think that maybe it helped them a little bit. I hate to see Kawhi Leonard off the floor, but you know, it helped them down the stretch not playing with him, to know, like, hey, he's going to be in this spot. We can give it to James here. We can give it to PG here. And look, these guys are not rookies. These guys are not sophomores. They've been there, done that. They know you know, what to do when a time gets to it. And they showed it again. These two guys showed why you make that big trade to go get James Harden, why you want to sign or extend Paul George. Yeah. These guys, when somebody's out, and I'm sure Kawhi Leonard would pick up the slack for Harden or Paul George if they were out too. So there's a big reason why they went out and got four Hall of Famers, and right now is crucial. And this is why they did it.
Regardless of how that series plays out, I am more confident than before, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, that this big four, these four guys will come back. Because, again, I think they're home. I think that they like it here. I don't think any of them will get a larger contract somewhere else. I could be wrong about Paul George. But when you look at James Harden and Russell Westbrook, this is sort of their, you know, perfect spot. But I first want to get your thoughts on this. I think that the mindset of the Clippers changed after last postseason. I think that was three consecutive. And it's like, if it happens one time, it's one thing. If it happens back-to-back seasons, that's another. So after last season, it was the third consecutive postseason without Kawhi in terms of he got injured, whether it was after the first round or whether it was after the first game or whether he was out completely. And it was the second consecutive postseason that they didn't have Paul George. Once again, whether he got COVID and got sick or got hurt or whatnot. At that point, you cannot build a team around those guys. So you almost effectively have to have, and this has maybe never happened in the history of the NBA, a backup big two. And again, with the hope of, listen, hopefully we're all healthy and we'll figure out how these four guys play together. But chances are one or two, right now it's just one, but maybe like someone else is going to get hurt. Like, I've never seen anything like this before. And by the way, credit to Steve Ballmer, who's talked about this. I mean, he's like, I will pay any price. And so what he's done is he's put together four Hall of Famers. And while there's a lot of questions about how they will coexist, they kind of know at this point, sadly, and it really is sad, that they're not going to have to coexist because one or more is going to be out. Your thoughts on that and your thoughts on these four coming back as they open up this brand new $2 billion Intuit Dome. They really pumped up like four local guys. And I really think these four guys will be back there again, regardless of how this series plays out.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's obviously a lot of talk about Paul George going to Philadelphia, and, you know, there's Indiana there too. But, you know, I think for him, he has a huge player option. If he does want to do that, he can opt in and then try free agency the next year after that. But I just think that the Clippers want to get him locked up. I mean, Paul George, you know, there's kind of two things here where you can say that maybe he's the face of the franchise and not Kawhi Leonard, because in 2021, he did the unspeakable. He got them to somewhere they've never been by himself, technically. And, you know, when he's in the playoffs, he's really good. We've seen it. I mean, look, coming into game three, I think there's 21 plus games of 20 points or more in the playoffs by Paul George. We just didn't see him in 2023. And in 2022, obviously he had the COVID issue, but he was still excellent in that play-in game against Minnesota. Yeah. So like when the lights are bright, he shows up almost, you know, most of the time since that bubble. Obviously the bubble was a disaster, but since then he's been probably the face of the franchise in terms of the guy that you can count on, because, you know, it's sad to say, but Kawhi Leonard's just not been there, right? So while Kawhi Leonard is the better player, I don't think that he's the franchise guy. And with James Harden performing the way he is, you know, before Paul George went nuclear in this last game, I thought James Harden was the best player on the Clippers in this series. And a lot of people were saying, oh, well, here comes playoff Harden. No, here's a stinker here, a stinker there. He's put up 20 plus points in each of these games. Yeah. He's distributing the ball very well. He's getting to his spots. The burst is there. The step back's there. He's getting the bigs involved. He has been everything that we saw in December and January from James Harden right now in the most crucial time that they need it. So, you know, I think that for these four guys, even Russell Westbrook, look, what Russell Westbrook has had a really bad series offensively, but him and Terrence Mann have been just hounding Luka and Kyrie. I know that they're still getting their points, but if you look at some of the numbers for them defending Luka and Kyrie, they have been fantastic. Russell Westbrook, I think he had two, maybe 4 points on Sunday. And he was still a positive in the plus minus. Like, that's the intangibles that he brings to a game. So I think for these four guys, yes, they should be back. You really don't have any other option. Like, are you going to go out and get a Siakam, like Ananobi? Those guys are kind of locked into their team. So there's really not much out there that you can go get to replace them. So at this point, you're going through this postseason, you're saying, okay, well, we can bring them back, but let's just supplement our team around them with younger players, with younger talent, with more athletic talent. I think that's the route they'll probably go, especially going into a new arena.
Grant, you know, the part of the story with Kawhi that I don't think people will fully appreciate is until he retires and we've had time to reflect and someone does a documentary, and we've been robbed of seeing one of the greatest players in league history at his peak. Now, what makes him different than Derrick Rose and Grant Hill and guys like that is that we did get to see him at his peak, and we did get to see him reach the pinnacle. 2014 Finals MVP, Finals Most Valuable Player, shutting down LeBron James. 2019 NBA Finals Most Valuable Player, shutting down one of, if not the greatest teams in league history. We've seen him at his peak, and we've seen him hit the pinnacle and win two titles, most valuable player. So, but I just keep thinking, like, man, he showed us glimpses. Like in 2021, and I hate to, like that team was going to win that championship. If Kawhi was healthy, I'm sorry. And that was such a weird year, they were going to win it all. Real quick before we close out, I mean, again, I know Clipper fans are disappointed and they're upset, but the reason that you kind of come back to that well again is because you've seen this guy, and when he's at his best, and I'll say it to the, he's one of the top 5 to 10 players in the league.
Yeah. I feel so terribly for him, not just Clipper fans, but for him. Like, this is a guy that played the most games he's played since 2016, 2017 during the regular season. You think he's healthy, and then this happens. It seems like it happens every year for him. And he was playing so well up until about 3 weeks ago when he got hurt. And, you know, you could just tell, like, he was not the same. I mean, Paul George threw him a lob in game three, and he hung on that rim for about 30 seconds because he just come down and hurt himself.
Yeah.
And, this guy at the peak of his powers, this is why they extended him for 3 years. Yeah. He's just that excellent of a talent, and you got to bank on it. You got to bank on him being healthy just because he's that level of player. He can go head-to-head with the Jokic. He can go head-to-head with the Luka. So for Kawhi Leonard, I know that the series is extended and he gets more time. I'm curious to see what he does if they get to round two, if he'll be available for that. But just say you get to the Western Conference Finals and you have Kawhi Leonard healthy in your back pocket. Like that just propels you to another stage. So as much as I feel bad for him, he's still, if they advance out of this, like the league better watch, because he's still very good when he's healthy.
Listen, I mean, I really hope we get to see it, because we got to see it, Grant, for game one against the Suns last season. And I'm like, oh, and then I was just crushed when he went out following game two. Grant, you're the best. I was pumped for you in the clip. So, right? I will talk to you soon, my brother. That is all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.